We are taking your questions on the impacts of the coronavirus on kids and families. A little later in the hour, we will speak about activities you can do with kids who are home from school. But first, how do we even talk to our kids about what's happening? How are you talking about it at home? Do you need help finding the right approach? Or what questions do you have about how much your kids should know or what's age appropriate to tell them at this point? Call with your questions. Call 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK or tweet us at Radio Boston. And we have people on the line to help answer those questions and talk with you. The first is Dr. Jean Baresson, Executive Director of the Mass General Hospital Clay Center for Young Healthy Minds and a professor of psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Hello, Dr. Baresson. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Thank you very much for having me.
Also on the line is Dr. Larry Berkowitz. He's a licensed psychologist in Massachusetts and the director and co-founder of Riverside Trauma Center. Welcome.
Thanks, Tiziana. Glad to be here.
And again, you can call with questions for our panel at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I want to start with this week. Dr. Baresson, what should parents say to children about why they're not at school right now?
Well, parents need to be honest. Most kids know that there's a pandemic. They know that there's a virus or an illness. But what we don't know is what they know. And many of the kids have heard lots of different things, sometimes misinformation. So before we tell them, we ask them what they've heard, because we want to know what they're thinking and what they're feeling. So I would ask them open-ended questions. What have you heard about the coronavirus? Where did you hear about it? What are your worries? Do you have any questions or concerns? Then once we find out what they actually know, then we can actually tell them that there is an illness that's being spread, and we're all staying home because we want everyone to stay safe.
And Larry Berkowitz, how do we think about the age ranges of children at home and what kind of information they're prepared to handle depending on their age, their maturity, their ability to process, et cetera?
Right. Parents know their kids well.
I think we may have lost Larry Berkowitz for a moment there. So while we try to get him back, Dr. Baresson, is that something that you can pick up for us?
Sure. First of all, we have to be aware that all kids of all ages have three questions. You know, am I safe? Are you the people taking care of me safe? And how is this going to affect my daily life?
And so to be clear, you're saying no matter what age your child is, those are three questions that are going to be on their minds.
Absolutely. And those three questions are key. But the way we address preschoolers ages 3 to 6, school-age children, say 7 to 12, and teenagers and young adults, say 13, to 18 and beyond, is going to be very different. For the very young children, we want to minimize conversations about the problem. We want to keep the television and radio off because it's going to scare them. And they're going to react more to our own emotions than to actually what we tell them. School-age children, they want to know what the routines are. They want to know schedules. They're very concerned with how things are affected, in terms of their friends and their games and their hobbies and their activities. And we want to address them and say that there's a problem that we're all dealing with, and we're all going to stay home, and we're going to, keep our schedules and routines here. You'll do your schoolwork here, and we'll, play with each other here. Teenagers and young adults are much more able to understand the nuances of this problem and think complexly. They're often worried about how this is going to affect the here and now, but also their future. And for them, I think sitting in front of television or online and looking at information, finding out, how they're getting their information, discussing what they're going to be doing in terms of their hobbies, schools, college. A lot of teenagers are very worried about missing out on things, and for them, we have to have conversations with them to explain what's going on and brainstorm about how we can actually work together to deal with this challenging situation.
So I think we have Larry Berkowitz, licensed psychologist and co-founder of Riverside Trauma Center, back on the line with us. Larry, are you back with us?
Thanks. The connection seems a little iffy, but I am here.
Okay, we're going to hold you as long as we can. I want to ask first, if we have a caller, and I want to get that caller in a second, but I want to ask first if you have anything you want to add to what you just heard.
Unfortunately, I didn't hear a lot, but Dr. Baresson was absolutely talking about offering structure. We think about providing, at our place, we often talk about safety, predictability, and control, and that's our job, to try to help our kids feel safe. We talk with them. Doctors and scientists working on helping us all. They can stay safe by washing their hands and social distancing. The predictability, we were just hearing about, you know, helping establish schedules for them and control. They help establish the schedules. Can they make their own schedules? Can they help with planning family meetings to talk about what's going on?
So giving them a greater sense of control over what's happening during their day.
Absolutely.
All right, let's pick up a call. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. What are your questions about the family conversations to have right now in the middle of this outbreak? Not just about school, but about the disease itself, health and well-being of family members, et cetera. Alex is on the line from Belmont, Massachusetts. Alex, what's your question?
My question is, I have 5 children that range in age from 17 to 3. So they obviously have very differing, you know, abilities to cope with what is going on with the coronavirus. And what is the dinner table conversation supposed to look like this, where we have older children understand the profound economic and health impacts of this, along with younger children who are just saying, you know, everyone's home. What does this mean?
Yeah, that's a great question. Dr. Bresson, let me just start by, am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes, you're right.
Great. I just want to be sure, as one with an unusual name, I'm very careful about those things. What is your thought for Alex?
Well, obviously, you know, the conversation is going to be different for preschoolers than it is for adolescents. So one thing, for when everybody's together, turn the TV and the computers and the radio off, because what is going to be acceptable to a school-age children or a child or an adolescent is certainly inappropriate for younger children. Number two, I would keep the conversation when everybody's together very simple. Safety precautions, as we've just heard, washing your hands together, doing things together, talking about being safe, trying to have family activities that everyone can engage in. Then I would separate the kids for different conversations by their age. I mean, adolescents require a different conversation than school-age children. And I think, you know, when they're all in the room, keep it really simple and basic. And at the level of the youngest, younger children. And then I would try to separate them out so that you could address their specific needs based on their developmental levels.
So Alex's question really resonates in my head. I am the youngest of 8 living children, and I remember that dinner table. Mm-hmm. And many of my brothers and sisters were significantly older. Teenagers do not cooperate about conversations. So if your older children are at that dinner table and you want that family time and they're going after it, I mean, how do you do the ixnay on the octay while the younger children are at the table? Larry, maybe you can help with that.
I'm sorry, I cut out there again. So the question is about how do you help manage the different ages in the conversation?
Yeah, if you're at the dinner table, if all the kids are together and you've got different kids at different ages who are ready for different kinds of engagement, clearly you try to keep them separated. But do you actually say in front of the younger children, we're not going to talk about this right now? Or is that a sort of a caution whistle to the little ones itself?
Yeah, great point, because kids are picking up on the emotional state of the parents.
I think we're just struggling with Larry Berkowitz's line there. So, Dr. Bresson, I'll let you pick right back up on it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I would do. I would bring the adolescents aside outside of the dinner table, and I would say to them, you know, part of your kids need to feel that they're helping the cause. As Dr. Berkowitz was saying, they need to feel that they're in control, and we want them to be supportive. I would say, you know, you can be a real helper to your younger brother and sister by keeping the conversation at their level. Let's not address more complicated issues at the dinner table and keep it quiet. If, you know, obviously they know, kids know that they're going to have to be pulled away from the table if they start getting into it. But teenagers will generally, for the most part, everybody knows this is a crisis. And if you help give the teenagers a mission, you know, you can help the family by doing the following things. It's a great thing to do. The other thing to do is, if it's getting out of control, I would basically say, wait a second, let's all wash our hands together singing Happy Birthday twice, because that's the way we're going to do it for the proper amount of time. Again, the way preschoolers and young school-age children would do it. Many of the teenagers will roll their eyes and leave the room. fine. You know, if they're going to be uncooperative, then you're going to have to pull them aside. But, you know, in my experience, when there are major challenges and crises, whether it's hurricanes or this is unusual for us, a pandemic, most kids will rally and come to the aid of the whole family.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK on this extra call-in hour of Radio Boston, where we're talking about the impact on children and families of the coronavirus outbreak as we are experiencing it. We're going to give it one more shot with Larry Berkowitz, the licensed psychologist and co-founder of Riverside Trauma Center. I think we've tried a different line now. Do we have you?
Exactly. This is old school. It's just a regular phone now. Yeah.
Well, I'm a big fan of old school phones. And it does raise this other question that I know some of our listeners have had and that I've been wondering about. Kids know when parents aren't being authentic.
Yeah.
What is the line between showing adult emotion, adult fear, concern, anxiety versus not in the household, especially when parents may not always be able to contain it with the speed and the ferociousness of the information as it's coming in? Larry,
that's
maybe you can
point.
Start with that.
Yeah, we have to be managing our own reactions as best we can, because you're right, our kids pick up on it. They can read us very clearly and easily. So we want to be honest. We want to say, yeah, this makes me nervous too, and here's what I'm doing to try to help keep myself calm. But as parents, we need to be watching out for ourselves. We need to follow the same advice we want to give our kids. We want to have a careful diet of how much we're watching the news and just taking in a little bit at a time from trusted, reliable resources. We want to demonstrate and model for our kids that when we're upset or nervous, we talk to the people we care about, that we're staying on the phone with our friends and family, that we're doing some relaxation techniques or mindfulness or using an app to help us stay calm. We want to be demonstrating, being transparent, that we're trying to manage things too, but that we feel like we have control over it.
And another question that raises is questions of privacy. Not everyone lives in a home where there can be a lot of distance and space for private conversations, for sort of, you know, working through your emotions where your kids can't see. So in very tight, small spaces or in, you know, households where people are really quite crowded together, how does one create space and time for each person to emotionally process across the age ranges what's happening in our lives right now? Dr. Beresin.
Well, it's a really good point. I mean, in crowded spaces, we have to kind of all you know, do things that don't negatively affect others. I would have a discussion with all the kids saying, you know, we all need to stay calm. Let's all talk about what keeps you calm. What stresses you out? What makes you calm? And then go around the room and have people talk about them. Some kids will say, well, I like to draw. Well, I like to play games. I like to, you know, play a board game or a video game or watch a movie, or I like to listen to music. And then we could, you know, as a family, have a structure, have a means of going about it so that it doesn't interfere with other people, and that we could all either do things on our own if they're quiet, like reading or journaling or watching a movie with headphones on or listening to music, or we could do things together. I think the more we have discussions as a family about how we're going to do things that's acceptable to all, and again, you know, as I say to my own kids and to kids, or I did in the past, now my grandchildren and my patients, you know, families are not a democracy. I mean, parents need to take the lead, and they need to be in control, not in an authoritarian way, but in an authoritative way, saying, this is how I think we should do this, let's do it, and then have a means to do it in a way in which everybody kind of gets to win in their own way.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the conversation. What's worked in your household? How have you talked to your children or to each other about what's happening with this coronavirus outbreak? You know, another question that comes up is how transparent should adults be with kids about the virus itself, how it works, what the symptoms are, who is at risk in the extended family, why you may not be going to visit the grandparents, et cetera. What level of transparency there is appropriate? And again, does that vary by age group? Larry, maybe you can start with that.
Sure. I think we have to be transparent, give some information, and as you point out, to think about the age group. We give less information, obviously, for our younger kids, and our adolescents can understand, you know, the high school age kids can understand more. and can be pulled into being helpful and allies with us around some of that. So, you know, I think it's also important to not only give the information about what the virus does, but that to give as much accurate information as we can. So, for example, right now, the best information we have at this point of time is that 98% maybe of people who get this virus, for many of them, it's going to be very mild and not impact them much at all. For most people, you know, 98% of people, as best we know, or 97, 99, depending on the research you're looking at, most people get better. And that's an important part of the message, too. We have to balance. That's one of the ways of managing our anxiety and our reactions, is to understand that there's another side of it, too.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, another thing that has come up is adolescent anxiety. We are in a time where we know in many of our school districts and many of our families, we're seeing heightened level of adolescent anxiety, the lack of structure of not being in school, the awareness in your adolescent years of what's happening and how awful this might feel in the world can dial that up. So how do parents find mental health supports for their children? Especially, we know it is hard to get mental health support for adolescent anxiety. So what can we do there? Dr. Bereson.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, teenagers have their own set of stresses. I mean, they miss hanging out with their friends. They miss, so some are worried about you know, this is prime time for college applications. They're worried about that. They're worried about their grades. They're worried about for those that are not going to college or that are working to help support the family, they're worried about work. So it's normal for them to deal with this. And what's really important is to have them talk with you as a parent about it. Another thing is, just as parents need their own supports, I think, you know, teenagers need their own supports. And this is one place, you know, oftentimes we say digital media is, you know, for better or worse, oftentimes for worse. But this is one place where we can actually harness the value of online and digital media. I don't see anything wrong with having Skype, FaceTime, or other kinds of group calls between teenagers to keep them in touch with each other, to be in touch with community leaders, coaches, and other important people in their lives. They need to stay connected. I mean, two of the most important things that build resilience are engagement with others, and they need that, and awareness of their own feelings and attitudes and their beliefs and their reactions. So to help them express themselves, particularly with others, is very important. So that's an important thing. The other thing that Larry mentioned about adults is true for teenagers as well. There are resources online about self-care for teenagers. Yeah. So, for example, the Clay Center, we have three videos, one for middle school kids, one for high school kids, and one for college-age kids on self-care. And they're short videos. They're 6 minutes long. They're easily watched. We have an activity kit to build resilience that's based on those videos that can be used at home or can be used in school. And so tools like that can be very helpful if the teenagers want to use them.
And Larry Berkowitz, last word to you. What would your main message to families be at this point?
It's probably reiterating some of the things we've said, establishing safety, predictability, and control, and really sticking with that. Going with the times, acknowledging the times are difficult, being flexible, but really trying to build in as much structure as we can for our kids, and monitoring our own reactions. I think that's going to go a long way to helping our children.
Larry Berkowitz is a licensed psychologist in Massachusetts and the director and co-founder of the Riverside Trauma Center. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
And Dr. Jean Bereson is executive director of the Mass General Hospital Clay Center for Young Healthy Minds and a professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. Thanks so much.
Thank you.